We're reading from the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita from the Madhya Lila, chapter 15, text 108. Diksha purascharya vidhi apikshana kare jivasparsa achando sabara udare. Translation. One does not have to undergo initiation or execute the activities required before initiation. One simply has to vibrate the holy name with his lips. Thus, even a man in the lowest class, Chandala, can be delivered. So I thought that was maybe an appropriate verse on this occasion of an initiation ceremony. And I mean, the first question I could ask, is this scriptural? Since I read here from the Chaitanya Charitamrita, very clearly, one does not have to undergo initiation or execute the activities required before initiation. One simply has to vibrate the holy name with his lips. Thus, even a man in the lowest class, Chandala, can be delivered. So, that's it then. Party over. It seems like any attempt to do anything would be against the scripture, and that we cannot do. So now that everyone is hopefully utterly confused, I will carry on with the purport. In the purport, Srila Jiva Goswami explains Diksha in his Bhakti Sandarbha 283. Divyam jnanam yatu dajat kuryat papasya sangsayam tasmat dikseti sa prukta desikas tatvakuvidai. Diksha is the process by which one can awaken his transcendental knowledge and vanquish all reactions caused by sinful activity. A person expert in the study of the revealed scriptures knows this process as diksha. The regulative principles of diksha are explained in the Hari Bhakti Vilas 234 and the Bhakti Sandarbha 283, as stated. Dvijjanam anupitanam swakarma jayana disu yati yatadikaru nastita syats chupanaya danu tatra diksitanam tu mantra devarchana disu nadikaru styata kuryat atmanam sivasamstutam. Even though born in a Brahmin family, one cannot engage in Vedic rituals without being initiated and having a sacred thread. Although born in a Brahmin family, one becomes a Brahmana only after initiation and the sacred thread ceremony. Unless one is initiated as a Brahmana, one cannot worship the holy name properly. According to the Vaishnav, so let's look at that for a moment. Unless one is initiated as a Brahmana, one cannot worship the holy name properly. That is an important point, because the point was made, there is no need to take initiation. But then we see that now it's Jiva Goswami points out, unless one is initiated, one cannot worship the holy name properly. That is the difficulty. Yes, if we were qualified to chant, if we were qualified to chant, we could simply chant and attain all perfection, because the holy name does not depend on anything. It is stated that we receive the creeper of, or the bhakti lata beads, the seed of the creeper of bhakti, and that creeper then grows gradually throughout the whole universe, past the heavenly planets, through all the layers of the universe, and then finally coming out on the side of the spiritual world and eventually passing all the Vaikuntha planets and coming to the spiritual world, to the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord. So it is described. And it is said that usually a creeper is growing on something, either a tree, a wall, or on some support. But this holy name is completely independent of any support. This creeper of bhakti just grows. And the creeper of bhakti is watered by Sravanam Kirtana Jala Sechana. It is especially watered by hearing and chanting. And still we're seeing that initiation is recommended. And there are many verses here, because I was asked to stop at 8:20, which doesn't give us a lot of time, so I'll skip a little Sanskrit just for practical purposes. Unless one is initiated by a bona fide spiritual master, all his devotional activities are useless. A person who's not properly initiated can descend again into the animal species. So now we see that the importance of initiation is highlighted. The Hari Bhakti Vilas further quotes, again Sanskrit skipped, "It is the duty of every human being to surrender to a bona fide spiritual master, giving him everything, body, mind, and intelligence. One must take Vaishnava initiation from him." Then the Bhakti Sandarbha 298 gives the following quotation from the Tattva Sagar, skip the Sanskrit, "By chemical manipulation, bell metal is turned into gold when touched by mercury. Similarly, when a person is properly initiated, he can acquire the qualities of a brahmana." The qualities of the mode of goodness. Because otherwise, how can we maintain our chanting? Otherwise, how can we find the motivation to chant? That is the difficulty. Yes, chanting is the one thing that can deliver us, but Prabhupada's cartoon, at least the cartoon which he had Xeroxed and sent around everywhere, because that's how it was, where the lady says, "Chant," and the man says, can't, and that was Prabhupada's, he really liked that cartoon. It sort of went to the crux of the issue. Somehow or other, the mind says, can't, right? Somehow or other, can't chant. And of course, we may somehow or other get accustomed to chanting 16 rounds, and that is for many of us very difficult. Therefore, we need a process of purification, a process of regulating ourselves, because for so long, we have whimsically followed all the pushings of the senses. Kamadinam kutita pulika dunidesam tisam jatmai nakaruna natapatraya. These senses are merciless. They have pushed us and pushed us and pushed us and driven us to try more things to be satisfied, and still not satisfied, until we became tired and frustrated, and until we felt defeated. Parabhavas tavat abhud jato. When we felt thoroughly defeated, actually, that's when we developed some interest in spiritual life. Nayigyasi tu atmatattvam. One is always defeated if one is not inquiring into the absolute truth. So, in this way, we are taking initiation so that we can create a proper environment for chanting Hare Krishna. So that we can get the proper proper motivation. It is not easy to remain focused for a lifetime. So many things happen in a lifetime. Maybe you'll fall in love, and then what? Then the vows look different than they did before. Oh yes, they do. Maybe some calamity Maybe some unforeseen problem occurs, and suddenly health, total breakdown, and now what? Even to lift the finger can become hard. And then, still chanting? But it's not possible now. All right. What can we do? But the vow still stands. And even if an emergency would arise that it really would not be possible, then still, the vow still stands. And we return to the standard as soon as possible, because that's what we do. We fix that standard in our life. That cannot go away. The vow, once made, will stay no matter what happens in this world. No matter what happens in our mind, no matter what happens in our senses, the vow will stay. It cannot go away. Once given, cannot be taken back from, well, I took that vow, and at that time I was much younger. No, I was, I was, actually. Yeah, I know, it's hard to believe that I could be younger. That's why you are laughing. Yeah? But I took that vow, and at that time I was much younger. I was immature. I was immature. And because I was immature, I was not able to properly estimate the actual responsibility involved with the vow. And then I took the vow immaturely, therefore I don't really feel that the vow I made was serious, because I didn't fully understand the depth, the meaning, the weight of the vow. Now I do. And now I realize I'm totally not qualified to take such a vow. Therefore, what to do? Therefore, I put my Brahmin thread in a box, and I have not seen my Japa Mala for a while. I know it's somewhere in the house, but I wonder, actually, to be honest, I'm not quite sure where it is. No, Srila Prabhupada was quite specific about, you've given your word, right? And that meant something. You've given your word, and then somehow or other that word cannot be changed. One has to live it. That's very difficult for us who have no prior discipline, who have never really kept our word. Yes, we promise, and then 10 minutes later, we break the promise, don't even think about it. This time, no. Even if we would do that, the promise will not let us. Sometimes, I like to, I use the example of the story of Krishna planting pearls, I think. That story is very nice, that by watering, in this case with milk, the pearls grew very nicely. So the vows are like that. It is not that it stops with taking the vows. Rather, one has to engage in activities that will support the vows, and that will turn the vows into something very nice. So if we just live with four prohibitions, right, then these are like four walls and the four no's, and I'm living with four walls, four limitations, and I cannot step beyond that. And my mind doesn't like that. That's difficult. And then every day, 16 rounds, which is, pretty much 2 hours focused chanting, and it's not so easy. So much is going on. Uh-huh. So much to do. But somehow or other, we will not only focus our mind on the vows, we will try and engage in activities which will nourish the vows. We need nourishment. Without spiritual nourishment, the vows will become a burden. Without hearing and chanting, oh, these vows are just actually painful. 16 painful rounds every day. Yes. 4 regulative principles. Ouch. But by hearing and chanting, by developing an attraction to the all-attractive Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is naturally attractive, by this attraction, then we get the actual motivation, the actual desire to do it. That is very important. Therefore, hearing and chanting are together. It is, although we are not vowing to hear, it is without, how can we chant? Without, how can we chant and not suffer and not experience it as an austerity? It will become a burden. We must hear every day extensively, deeply studying the scripture. It is again and again the scripture, the Srimad Bhagavatam, and particularly Bhagavad Gita, Nectar of Devotion, Chaitanya Charitamrita, these 4 main books, the Prabhupada's books, immediately lift us up every time. Every time, as soon as we are reading, purify it. Purify it. Immediately, up on a higher level, at least considering it, even if we're not there, we start to think about it, at least. Our thoughts, from base level, which means direct connection with the senses, right? All thinking, feeling, and willing related to the senses. The joke about the old man, what are you thinking about? Sex. At your age? Then he said, I'm always thinking about sex. My whole life. Yes, there is the train of thought. And it goes from coach to coach. And what is the last coach? Each time, it comes there again. To lusty activities. Icchadvesa samuttena dandamahina bharata. All living beings in this material world are covered by this material delusion of icha, of lusty desires, and envy. And these two things will govern our desires, even if we are not, even if we think it may not be so. Even if we have covered, even if we have covered these base elements of our nature with lots of culture, which provides us with a nice and civilized identity. Yes, I'm a very cultured gentleman, and refined, and full of, thinking of values and principles, and these things, they mean a lot to me. They can go out of the window any moment. Any moment. That little layer of veneer, right? It can be tested and will be tested. And Maya will find openings, find a crack, and suddenly all that external culture will be gone. But by attraction to Krishna. Attraction to Krishna comes from hearing about Krishna and comes from serving Krishna. Therefore, it can never be cheap. We have to engage in devotional service. Not just a little, but substantial. Make an effort. Make a real effort. The effort has to match, the strength of our effort has to match the strength of our lusty desires. and they are strong, then the servers also better be strong. Right? What do you want? I mean, you know, you have a strong disease and you think a little aspirin will do or something like that. Right? And needs something, a little, the medicine has to match the disease. That is logical. That's very understandable. In this way, within the vows, there are two aspects. One aspect is the prohibitions, and the other aspect is the positive injunctions. So we're living with the two. We're living with boundaries, restrictions in our life, and we're living with activities that provide us nourishment and inspiration. And the two have to be strongly present in our spiritual life. And we have to protect that. Although Srila Prabhupada created a movement where all the ingredients are very much available. Prabhupada created a morning program and packed it with the five principal limbs of bhakti. chanting of Hare Krishna, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, serving the Vaishnavas, residing in Mathura, Vrindavan, this case, the temple, and worshipping the deity. All these things are there. We always chant Jai Radha Madhava just to take us every day to the Holy Dham. So in this way, Prabhupada packed our program with all these things so that we can just automatically be nourished. But then, then many devotees, the majority of devotees, are living at home. And at home that program is not there. And then it's just chanting japa. And even those in the temple are busy. How much time for the program? And it was a late night. And how much energy could even go in the program? If you go to bed at 11:30 and you're in Mongol Arati, it's not the same as after a good night rest. You're there, but in a zombie state. And so we must invest in quality hearing, in going deep into the scriptures, so that we develop Shastra Sakshus, that we begin to see everything through the scriptures, and that we become nourished. We must go to the Holy Dham somehow or other and roll in the dust and pray and in holy places and pray to great personalities. Go to the places connected to the Goswamis and pray to them. And these prayers will nourish us. And we need to serve the Vaishnavas in every possible way. Dadati prati grinati. Give them gifts. Give them valuable gifts. In this way, we are starting a culture of Krishna consciousness, not just some vows, and I will do it, and I shall do it, and I'm gonna do it, and I'm promising today. Very nice. But how long? This sounds like a New Year's resolution. It's not realistic. It's not based on inspiration. So how much is that? And all of us are neglectful in this regard. After the initiation, all of us neglect our spiritual nourishment. That is the thing. Somehow or other, it because there is just this psychological thing. No matter how special something is, and no matter how special the initiation is today, soon it will become routine. And when everything becomes routine, then slowly things water down. And the Bhagavatam collects dust and so on. And the Dham, not going this year. No time, too much money. Too busy. Too busy with what? One time I saw Dhananjaya, from the UK. Although he's not really from the UK, he's from Vrindavan, because Prabhupada told him that he should stay in Vrindavan. I saw him one time, he came to Vrindavan, and he just got out of a car, went to the Yamuna, got two bottles of Yamuna water, jumped back into the car, and went back to the airport to catch his plane. He just had a long stop in Delhi, and he decided to just drive out to Vrindavan and get some water from the Yamuna. That is the spirit of appreciating how precious even a moment is. So this remembrance we have to cultivate, we have to develop so that it may grow. So let our hearing, let our service, all hearing about Krishna and our devotional service, let us bring that back to the chanting of the holy name, and let our remembrance of Krishna increase, and let's again bring that back to the chanting of the holy name, so that our chanting becomes deeply inspired. That is our prayer. And where we're falling short, let us pray to the feet of all the Vaishnavas and pray for their mercy. And try and very carefully avoid the 10 offenses. Since I'm now about to end, I cannot explain the 10 offenses today. I mean, I saw that as soon as I got the time schedule. So I said, all right. So, but we must avoid these 10 offenses. And we should know them, first of all. Right? So we should memorize the 10 offenses. If we don't know, no problem. But we should memorize them. And we should carefully try to avoid them, so that these things don't get in the way and that they don't slow us down. Because such offenses, even if we get some taste, it will take the taste away. See, the Bhaktivinoda Thakur says one can become denoted by offenses, and Uttama Adhikari can become a Madhyam. And he says a Madhyam can become a Kanista. One can again come to weak faith by offenses. In this way, we must be careful. Must be careful. But this initiation, and those are the last few words that I'm now stealing from overtime. This initiation is a wonderful occasion. It is an occasion of great blessing. Many blessings will be there. The deities are here. Srila Prabhupada in his deity form is here, fully present. Krishna is fully present in his deity form, also fully present. And the Vaishnavas are here, and they all carry the blessings. They have all purchased Krishna's mercy by their service. Every Vaishnava has purchased the mercy of Krishna. So therefore, please bestow your mercy upon these devotees that are taking initiation today. Um, ask Krishna, oh, please, let their vows be successful. That is your mission here today. Now, here in the Bhaktivedanta manor, there is a good system where senior devotees are looking after junior devotees, because our spiritual masters are not many and are spread all over the world like little butter on a big loaf. So, therefore, it is very nice that the senior Vaishnavas are taking care of the devotees. So the mentors are also here today of the devotees that are to be initiated.